today we're starting a new series called In the Zone. In the Zone, whether it's on the golf course. You know, many times on the golf course, if you're like me, you're a scratch golfer like I am, but you scratch your head and wonder why the ball's going out of bounds. But you're learning to be in the zone. And one of the things that we use, the words we use a lot, is the word in the zone. Whether you played golf or you played basketball or football, baseball, or maybe you've had a great deal in the boardroom and everything you touch goes to gold. You ever had those days? And golfers can tell you, this is what keeps us going out. Some days you come and you swing the club, pew, and it is as straight as an arrow, and it's long, and everything you swing at, you hit. And you think, where did that come from? What happened? And your friends will tell you, man, you are in the zone today. Your buddies will look, because you don't usually play that way. We play with you, and those who play with me know that. I'm not in the zone very often. But every once in a while, I get a little hot, and I get what's called in the zone of golfers. I mean, every time you swing it, man, you're hitting it right into the sweet spot. I remember one time I was playing in a softball game, and I've hit a few home runs in my life, but the bases were loaded, and I hit a grand slam. And that's the only grand slam I ever hit in my life, when the bases were loaded. I hit a grand slam over the fence, and I come running home, you know, and I believe Jeremiah was there. He can witness this. I'm not making this up. I was there. I actually hit one grand slam, and when I got back, everybody's like, man, you do hit that in the sweet spot of the bat. It wasn't like, you know, Pastor Gene, you got great power. Wasn't a good swing. It was all the bat's fault, you know. You hit that right in the sweet spot at the bat, you know. And there's something about being in the zone. With the quarterbacks, they use it today. You'll hear it today a lot, probably, if you're watching football. That quarterbacks get the ball, and they start getting hot, and they'll say, he's in the zone today. He's hit the last 8 completions, or he's 9 out of the last 10, or he's 10 out of 12, and he's hitting. He's on fire. He's in the zone. And that's the word we use a lot, is the word in the zone. And what does it mean to be in the zone? Zone is simply an area that's distinguished from surrounding areas. It's in contrast to other places. Now, some of you, this may shock you today, but our God desires for us, for me, for you, to live in the zone. God desires for you and I to live in the zone. Now, today we got this rug up here, and I appreciate Smith's Floor Store. Give you some free commercial there, Paul, for the donation and use of this area rug this morning. We're going to call this place the zone, okay? This is outside the zone. This is inside the zone. We're talking about living life inside the zone. And this series is going to be about living life inside the zone, living life in the sweet spot that God has for you and I. That you realize that God has called you and I to live a life in the zone. But many times we choose to live it outside the zone. And God has called for you and I to be a people who are living life inside the zone. We should have those days in God every day where we don't understand what's going on, but man, it sure feels good. Everything we touch, God is blessing. And things we do, God is prospering us. And we're saying, I don't know what it is. I'm in the zone. I'm hot. I don't know what it is, but it is God's favor on my life. It's the favor of God. And the question is, are you in the zone or are you zoned out? I look at some of your faces. You've been up all night. Some of you look zoned out. If I'm talking about spiritually today, that's the question we're asking. Are you in the zone or are you zoned out? Where are you at today in your walk with God? God means for us to live in the sweet spot of his success. Listen, this subject matter today as we start this series is such a big deal. This is a big deal. And it's such an important thing. I challenge you right now as your pastor, let me tell you, over the next several weeks, as you're going to be challenged to be here. You're going to be challenged to be here because Satan does not want you to hear this word that we're going to be speaking over the next few weeks. He does not want you to hear about living in the zone because he does not want you and your family to live in the zone. He wants you living outside the zone. He does not want you to be prosperous. He doesn't want you to be spiritually prosperous in your life. Why? Because he knows that God has a place for you and I. And if he can keep you and I distracted, living out here outside the zone, then we'll never experience the fullness of the blessing that God has for us. And so what's going to happen is he's going to bring things up. He's going to speak things to you. You're going to have things come your way, and you're going to have every excuse in the world to miss over the next few weeks. Let me tell you, it's just going to happen. That's the way it happens. But listen, don't give in. Be spiritually ready to say, you know what, this is a distraction that's trying to keep me from hearing the revelation of God's word in my life. I want to live in the zone. Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to learn to live in the zone. Not the twilight zone, But the zone, we're talking about the sweet spot of God's success. This is huge. And so I'm going to ask you to be in prayer over the next few weeks and say, God, prepare my heart to receive the word of the Lord. Prepare my heart to receive the word of the Lord. Matter of fact, let's pray that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray right now, God, over these next few weeks, starting this morning, God, as we learn what it means to live in the zone, that, God, you speak to our hearts. God, prepare us now. Prepare us now, God, to receive the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ and what your word says about living in the zone, living in the sweet spot of success according to your word, according to what you've destined for us to do. Father, may our hearts be ready to receive. God, may we not be given to distractions and to discouragement. God, may we be open to this. May we apply these words to our life, and may the word of God be applied to our heart that, God, we can walk in the zone. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a difference-making stuff in our life. As we apply these principles to our life, it will make a big difference in our life. Today we're talking about being God-hearted. Being God-hearted, the first part of this. Our God is God who wants us, who desperately desires us to live in the zone. We as followers of Christ need to be God-hearted. Learning what it means to be God-hearted, we need to reflect and mirror the majesty of who God is. If we know God personally, we should mirror who he is. If we're a Christian and we know him personally, then we should mirror who he is in our life. We should have the character qualities. We should have to reflect the stuff that God is all about. And so we're going to talk about the first thing today is the essence. The essence of God is generosity. The essence of God is generosity. From the very first of time, let's look at the scripture. It's very familiar to you today. It'll be all over the TV today. Every field goal that's kicked, you'll see the sign. God is about living in the zone. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he took? No. God so loved the world that he gave. Everybody say gave. God so loved you and I that, first of all, what did he do? The most important thing he did was he gave his one and only son. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Let me stop here just for a second and tell you right now that God is for you. God is for me. You need to realize this in your mind right now. Some of you are living the mentality that no one is for me. Woe is me. Everything's against me. I'm just barely making it. And I'm here to tell you today, when you get a revelation of the zone, you realize that God is for me. Wow, that's a big deal when you realize God is for me. Who can be against me? When you get a revelation of that knowledge that God is for you, God is wanting you to succeed. God is wanting to bless your life. God is wanting to work things out in your family. God is wanting to do big things in your life. You get into the zone and say, yes, God is for me. Who can be against me? Does it mean that I won't have storms when I go through my zone? Yes, but it means when I'm in the zone, that my feet are planted like a tree by the rivers of water. They're deep in the roots of Christ, and the winds will not, they may blow me and shake me a little bit, but I'm not going to be moved because I'm in the zone. I'm in the sweet spot where God has for me to be. God desires for us to be in the sweet spot. Let's continue to read this verse. In verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us. Wow. For all of us. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Along with him, graciously, will he not give us all things? Today, our God is a giver. Our God longs to give to you and I because our God is generous. I mean, you serve a generous God. You serve a giving God. I serve a God who longs to bless you and I. And I want to learn what it means to be in the zone because I want to receive all that God has for me. Well, brother, we're going to receive it all when we get to heaven. Yes, that is true. That's very true. But there is a gift of right now, of eternal life starts when? It starts today. When I accept Christ, eternal life starts today. He has a gift for me today to walk in. He has a blessing for me today to walk in. It's just not when I get to heaven to receive my reward. He has a blessing, a zone, a sweet spot of success that he wants you and me, our families, our children, to dwell in. Why? Because he's a generous God. He's a generous God. He longs to give to you and I. He wants to bless you and I. He wants us to understand what it means to live in the zone. We're understanding that God is generous. The heart of God is, first of all, it's generosity, man. He is a generous God. He gives. And when we think about this, we understand that we have everything we have, it comes from God. All of our gifts, all of our aptitudes, all of our abilities, our material stuff that we have, everything we have is a gift of God and should reflect who God is in our life. One of these guys that we need to understand who lived in the zone was the guy by the name of Abraham. Now, Abraham knew what it meant to live in the zone. He lived in the zone his life. And we see where Abraham was a man who lived in the zone. Let's read about this. He was zoned in. Now, Abraham came from a family of idol worshipers, but somehow Abraham turned his heart to God, and he captured who God was and learned what it means to live in the zone. So today, if you're here and you're saying, you know what? Well, my family wasn't raised in church, and I just started coming to church. And, Pastor, you had an advantage because you were raised in a Christian home. Listen, it doesn't make a difference. Here's Abraham coming from a family of idol worshipers, idolaters, man. They had idols. They worshipped idols. And Abraham still made his way into the zone. Despite and in spite of what his family did, Abraham still made his way into the zone. Look what it says here about Abraham. Let's read it together. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. It says, I'll make you into a great nation. I'm paraphrasing here. I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, Abraham, and you are going to be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Some of you are saying, what is up with that? Through Abraham, the nation of Israel was born. And through the nation of Israel, Jesus Christ came to be born. And so through Abraham, he birthed Israel, the nation of Israel. And through the nation of Israel, Jesus, our Savior, was born. So out of Abraham, he brought the Savior. I mean, you're talking about living in a zoned life. It's saying, God, through me, even though my family was heathens, they were adulterous. Man, they were the biggest ungodly people that can be imagined. I still can do what's right for me and my family. And out of me and my family, God brought our Savior. Through his lineage, the mighty nation of Israel was birthed. That's just how important it is. Let's keep going, because Abraham was a man who was truly blessed. Look what it says here. One of his workers had this to say about Abraham in Genesis chapter 24, verse 35. This is one of his workers talking. It says, the Lord has blessed my master abundantly. And he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep, cattle, silver, gold, men servants, maid servants, camels, and donkeys. Abraham was blessed. If you read about his life, occupationally, relationally, financially, he was blessed beyond measure. I mean, he was blessed. He was a Fortune 500 owner. Man, he was there. He was one of the top CEOs of his corporation. Man, if we could say that about those days, that's who he was. Man, he was so rich in the things that God had blessed him with. He knew what it meant to live in the zone. Everything that he had came from God. He was blessed by God, and in turn, Abraham was a blessing. He was blessed by God. In return, Abraham became a blessing. Let's talk about this word blessings. We throw this word out a lot, don't we? Every time someone sneezes, we say, God bless you. God bless you. What happens when you meet somebody? How you doing today? Oh, I'm blessed, brother. I want to say, are you really? Someone should tell your face because you don't look it. You're sad, you know. Oh, I'm blessed by faith. I'm blessed. Or how about today when you watch any of the award shows or maybe a comedian, man, they get up there and they use God's name in vain 16 times. They'll use, you know, every unimaginable word we can't say here or even spell out here this morning. You know, ungodly words they use, and then all of a sudden when they get done, they say, God bless you. Thank you. What's that all about? We threw out this word blessing. It's like it's nothing. You know, God bless you. We'll see you. Bless you. Yeah, bless you. Bless you who sneezed. Bless you who heard all my, you know, ungodly things here today. Bless you. I know my videos are raunchy, but bless you. We threw out this blessing. Everybody's throwing out blessings. So what does it mean to be blessed. What does it really mean to be blessed? Bring that up, Garrett, if you could. The word bless and blessing, or God bless you. What does it really mean? I defined it this way. You know, when I think about blessing, I think about the intangibles. I think about peace and tranquility and of the soul and love and joy. That's what I think about blessing many times, but that's not what it's all about. Look at this definition. To be blessed means to be on the receiving end of the tangible and the intangible favor of God. To be blessed means to be on the receiving end of the tangible and the intangible favor of God. Wow. To be recipient of the tangible and intangible favor of God. A lot of us have a hard time accepting this fact. A lot of us have a hard time accepting this. We accept the intangibles, you know, but how do we accept the tangibles? Because today, and I'll be honest with you, because of TV today, and a lot of times we hear so much talked about, you know, in Christian television about this prosperity thing that even myself, I am very much turned off many times to watch many of it because it seems that all they're talking about is prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. And, you know, we lose the fact of being evangelists for Christ and about giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasure. And it's just not all about prosperity. But at the same point, we can't be to the point where we get turned off because maybe somebody is not doing it, you know, a certain way, and we get turned off by it. Sometimes we want to turn the TV off and say, you know what, I never want to hear about prospering because that's just so ungodly. No, it's not. Prospering with tangible things is not an ungodly thing. God has made it for you and I. He wants you and I to be prosperous. But many times we hold it off and say, you know what, that's just not of God. God blessing me financially. God blessing me with things. God doesn't want to do that. That's worldly, and so I should be in the mind of Christ and not be worried about those things. And yes, that's a right in your spirit because we're not focused upon things. We're focused upon Him. But same point, God says in His Word that He will bless us. He will bless us, and He longs to bless us. He longs what? To give us what we need. He longs to give us the things, the desires of our heart. He longs to do that, not just when we get to heaven, but He longs to do it here on earth. And so there is a right perspective when it comes to saying, you know what? I can live in the zone of success according to Christ as long as my alignment is right, as long as my spirit is aligned right. I'm not in the zone just so I can get things. I'm in the zone because I want to bless the Lord. I'm in the zone because I want to be obedient to God. And as I'm obedient, you're going to find out what happens. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Let's read this in Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Wow. You mean all the promises that God made to Abraham about making him a father of many nations, about the wealth and the things that he says that I can be heirs of that? He says, if you are a follower of Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. That spiritually, when I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I am adopted into the family of God. Which, who was the father? Father Abraham was there, man. Through his lineage came Christ. And so I can align up through an adoption with Christ. I can line up and have rights. You realize I can have rights to what was Abraham's. I can have rights to what God says I can. He promised Abraham, I have rights, and me and my family have rights to receive those things. There's a place of prosperity that He wants you and I to live if we will line ourselves up in the zone. And so there's a place we can walk in that. But many times we break the blessing of God because we say, I don't want that. Well, I don't believe that. Well, that was just for Abraham. Well, that's ungodly. Or that's too much to be the world. You know, and there's a balance in our life. We're not focused upon things, okay? We're not focused upon things. My focus is upon living and pleasing God. My focus is upon being obedient to God. Let's talk about this a little more. There's three events in Abraham's life that talks about him being in the zone. We see three times in his life where we can see where he was right in the zone, what God was doing in his life. The first one happened when he gave a generous offering to the priest, Melchizedek. And he came and he gave us a great offering. It's a tremendous offering he gave to Melchizedek. And many scholars believe that Melchizedek was a foreshadowing of Christ. As we study out Melchizedek's life and seeing what things he went through, he's a foreshadowing of Jesus' life. And we see that as Abraham giving to Melchizedek a great offering, generosity coming out of his life. The second thing we see, Abraham was wealthy, and he hooked up with his nephew Lot. Now, Lot was not a wealthy man, but when he hooked up with Abraham, he became wealthy. I mean, Lot was there, and he hooks up, you know, and all of a sudden he has some things, but when he hooks up with Abraham, he gets even more wealth, and pretty soon they get so wealthy they can't even stay together. He's like, listen, our companies are too big. We got to split off here. And look what Abraham does. Abraham takes his nephew in, Lot, and he says, all right, see all this land out here? It's ours. I'll tell you what, Lot, you choose anything you want. If you want the left, I'll take the right. If you want the right, I'll take the left. But you take anything you want. Let's just go ahead. We're going to split up here because we're getting so big we can't take care of all this. We need to split off, divide here to make sure we're doing our jobs justice. And so he generously said, you go first. You take the best of the best. I mean, here's a guy who could have said, you know what? I'm the one who got this. This land belongs to me. This land was given to me by God. I'm the one with the most wealth. I'm the seniority here. You know, I'm your uncle. You're my nephew. I'm going to pick, and then when I die, you can have what I picked, okay? But for now, I'm going to take what I have. That's the American way, isn't it? But he didn't do that, did he? He said, Lot, you take first pick. Whatever you want, you take, and I'll take the leftover. You see, there was something about Abraham that he knew what it meant to live in the zone. He was learning to be generous in his spirit. And, of course, it was through Lot. He said, yes. Instead of Lot saying, no, you're the elder. You take what you want. He said, you're right. I'll take what I want. Thank you very much, uncle. And he took it. And, of course, we know how much he prospered, didn't he? His land turned to Sodom and Gomorrah. And, of course, it was destroyed. So he was a real good spirit there. Lot was a taker. Abraham was a giver. So Lot became a land of destroyed, of iniquity, Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham's land became a nation of Israel, a blessing the Savior came out of. I'm talking about two men at the same time making different choices. Abraham knew what it meant to live in the zone. And out of his offspring came the nation of Israel. Wow. How many of us would be that way? We don't look at it that way. We're like, just give me what I can get today. You know, our nature is not to give. Our nature is to take. We want to take. Since the time my kids were born and they begin to play with the toys, they say, mine. It's mine. That's not yours, it's theirs. No, it's mine. You know, when we get married, it's like, you know, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. That's the rule we go by. We have this thing, it's mine, this is mine, this is mine. We're natural takers, we're not natural givers. It's just who we are. Our sinful nature makes us that way. But God, when you learn about being God-hearted, you learn that being God-hearted means that what? It means that I am learning the generosity of God, that God's heart is a giving God, that he is a giver. God's heart is all about giving. The third event we see in Abraham's life when he lived in the zone was when he and Sarah were going to have a baby. Here's Abraham, 100 years old, and his wife has been past the age of change. It's physically impossible for them to have a baby. He says, hey, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. His name's going to be Isaac. And they're like, wow. So God blesses this man because he's a giving man. Because he's in the zone, even when he shouldn't in no way give birth to a son. He's 100 years old. His wife is past the age of giving to children. She's gone through the change many years ago. And now she's going to give the impossible a son. He's going to be impregnate his wife. That's impossible. But God says, because you're living in the zone, I'm going to give you desires of your heart. You've always wanted this son, Abraham. And so I'm going to give it to you because you have learned what it means to be in the zone. I mean, think about that. What did Abraham do to deserve that? Nothing other than being obedient to God. He had a giving heart. He learned that everything he had came from God and that in return he would bless others. He had caught that spirit. He learned what it means to live in the zone. And we see where Isaac was born, and he was at the age of approximately 12 or 13, many scholars believe. And as he was at the age, can you remember, man, those of you who have sons and daughters, you know how close our children are to us. And God says, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son to me. I mean, think about that, man. You know, especially at that age, the older they get, and our dads and our sons, they get this bond, you know, as they get older. And the older they get, the more bond we have with our sons. And I can think about it now as my kids are 8 and 6, my boys are 4. You know, about my sons. And as they get older and they begin to play sports and do things we like to do and they get bigger and they can do more things with their dad, the tighter we get and the more bonds we get because we're getting closer. And I can't imagine at 12, 13 years old, God telling me to kill one of my sons at 12 or 13. But this is what God asked of Abraham. And the Word of God talks about that God never intended for Abraham to kill his son, but he only said this to test him. He was testing him. He was testing his spirit. Abraham, I blessed you. I've given you this miraculously, giving his children. Now, are you willing to give him back to me as I've asked you? And of course, we see where Abraham went to the mount to sacrifice his son and to be obedient. And of course, that didn't happen. The angel of the Lord stopped him before he killed his son on the altar, and he provided the lamb, and the lamb came out. And of course, they were able to sacrifice the lamb, and the lamb became the sacrifice, became another foreshadowing of the cost of the Christ gave for us on the cross of Calvary, the lamb who was slain for us, who gave his life for us. But Abraham was in his own because he was willing to give the very thing that was closest to him. He was willing to give his son. Just like God said, you know what? I'm willing to give my son for you and I. I mean, the act of love, the act of generosity can never be matched when it comes to giving away one of our children. And that's how much God loved you and I. That's how much he gave for you and I. He was a generous God. He gives to you and I, and he longs to give to you and I. And Abraham had a revelation of this. Abraham had a revelation of who God was and what he was doing in his life. Don't forget it. Download that into your brain today, into your spirit. Abraham was God-hearted. Abraham was a man who knew what it meant to live the life in his own. He lived it in his own. Several years ago, Melody and I had a family who came to us and said, hey, we got this nice house condo on the lake down in Branson. Anytime you guys want to use it, we don't use it that much, but you guys can use this thing. Anytime you want to use it, just feel free to use it. And I said, let me pray about this for a second. Okay, yes, thank you. How many know it didn't take long to hear from God for that one? Yes, Lord, you know. And so I remember taking that trip down there, and we walked into that condo, and it was so nice, man. It was right there. You could see the lake right there out the door. You could go fishing, or you could get on the boat and take one of the boats. You could do whatever you wanted to do. The golf course was real close also, and it had just a nice fireplace in there, full kitchen, you know, the big hot tub. I mean, it was just really nice, plush condo. And I walked in. The best part about it was free. I mean, that's always the best price. I mean, free is always the best price. But on the refrigerator, I had a list of about 10 things that we had to do. Had a list of about 10 things that we needed to do. You know, you clean this, and when you're done, take the sheets, and you clean them, do this. And certain things that you had to do in order to keep the condo where it needed to be. And how many know that I did those 10 things? Well, how many of my wife did those 10 things? We did those things. Because why? Because, hello, it was free. And I wanted to enjoy it. I wanted to have privilege to come back time and time again. I wanted to be able to use it again. And so I knew that in order for me to be a welcome guest, that I had to do these things. These things, these lists, this is all I had to do. And today I wonder, in the zone, this is what it comes to. God saying, listen, this is your house. This is my house. I'm letting you borrow this house. I'm letting you use this. I've got all this for you. But it's a list of things I want you to do. And this is what we got to do. We got to have a perspective. You know what? Everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. He is the owner, and I'm the manager. And he just asked me to do these certain things, and I can use everything else. I can use what he has for me. And we get a revelation. What it means to live in a zone is that he owns everything. He owns everything. He is the owner. I am the manager. So today, how do we do this? How do we go from being blessed to blessing? Why don't you bring that next slide up, if you could. In the zone, I'm standing here in this prop that I'm calling the zone today, this rug. As we see the middle of that, it's the word blessed. The word blessed. I am the blessed. Who is the blessor? That's not a real word. I made it up, but you guys can understand what that means this morning, okay? For those of you who are wondering where that word came from, we made it up today. The blessor. Who is the blessor? Who gives the blessing? Who is the blessor? God. God is the blessor. And so I line up in the zone. God is the blessor, and he blesses me. I am the blessed. So when the blessor pours out a blessing, and I am in the zone, and I receive it, I am blessed. And in return, my life should become a blessing. I receive from the blessor, I become blessed, in return, I give out blessing. That's the chain. That's what it means to live in the zone. That I line up according to God's word. I receive the blessings from God. Everything he gives me, my gifts, my abilities, my talents, my treasure, my finances, my children, my family, everything I receive as a gift from God. In return, I become blessed as he gives those things to me. And in return, I become a blessing to others. I learn to mirror the reflection of who God is. But many times, how do we do that? We receive it, and then we reflect it. That's how we do it. We receive the blessing from the blesser, and then we reflect him to others and show the blessing he's given to us. But the problem is this. We don't live in the zone. Very few people here this morning live in the zone. But instead, we live out in the land of the ing. We live out here in the land of the ing. How many know what it means to live in the land of the ing? The land of the ing means owning, clothing, earning, bling bling. I mean, we earn it all. My stuff is my stuff. My things are mine. My job is mine. My finances are mine. My family time is mine. My talents are mine. My abilities are mine. Everything is mine. And we live out here in the land of the ing. And yes, it's yours. But who gave it to you? It comes from God. And so we got to acknowledge that. And being a Christian and learning to live your life in the zone is, first of all, acknowledging that everything that I have comes from the blesser. It comes from God. And he gives it to me. And so what happens as a Christian, what? I take all my ing. I take my owning, my housing, my clothing, my earnings, my bling bling. I take it all. I'll take all my ing. And I put it over here in the zone. I look up and God says, you know what? I'm going to put bless on your ing. And then what we have becomes a blessing. See, God longs to bless our ing. God longs to bless all this ing, all these things that we have. But it comes when we come and we get the right perspective and we get in the zone and say, God, you are the owner. I am the manager. Everything that I have belongs to you, God. Everything I have belongs to you. And when you learn to live your life that way, you are learning to live it in the zone. And in the zone, you can't always understand it. But I can tell you, I've experienced it. I know what it means to go and get a house and you make a bid on the house and they laugh at you. And the next week they call you back and say, I don't know what happened, but we're told to give you this house for this price you asked for. You're like, what? I was just playing. I didn't think you'd give me the house that cheap. I'm talking about what it means to have car trouble and you need the $2,000 to fix that transmission that you didn't plan on fixing and not having the money. And you take what you have and say, God, I don't have enough to fix it, but what I have belongs to you, so I'm giving it to you. And by faith, it being taken care of, and it being taken care of, people calling you and saying, you know what, God told me to do this, not even knowing what was going on. And God meeting your needs. I'm talking about living in the zone. You walk in and something you need but you can't afford is on sale for 75% off with a coupon for an extra 20% off. And they've only got one left. And it's in your size. I mean, walking in the land of blessing. Things you can't explain. Things that don't make sense. But God blesses you. You go to buy something and there's a scratch that no one can see behind it. And they say, all right, you can have it for half price. I mean, walking in. You don't even realize things are happening. Us walking in the land of blessing that God has for you and I to walk in. But it comes when I have a revelation of who he is. His bless wants to take root with my ing and me return become a blessing to others. That I give, God, whatever you have. God, if you need my home, I'll open my home up to you. God, if you need my car is to be used of you. God, if you need my finances, I'll give it to you. God, I'll give you what you've asked me to give. I'll help start churches. I'll help plant churches. God, I'll help give the missions. I'll give faithfully my time. Because everything you have, God, belongs to you. And I know when I'm obedient to you that I am living in the zone. And I'm living in the life that God has in store for me and my family. Today, as we close, we see that our stuff, everything we have, it belongs to God. And we're praying that God today, I'm praying that through this series that we realize that God, everything we have belongs to him. And we get through this selfish desire that we have because we're made with it. We're born with it, this desire that everything I have belongs to me. No, it belongs to God. And he has blessed me with it. And as I line up to him, he takes my ing and puts his blessings on it. And then I become a blessing to others. He blesses my job so I can help others with jobs and I can give even more to ministry. He blesses me. If my neighbor needs a ride to church, my car is there. If someone needs to come and have a Bible study in my home, I open up my home to be used for God. My home's going to be opened up to you so my kids can bring their friends in and they can be in a godly home. I mean, what does it mean? Everything I have belongs to God. It's an act of obedience. We see today in closing the story of the master who left in the Bible. And he says, you know what? I give five talents, one two, and one. He says, man, you guys take us and do something with it. And he left. And when he came back, he asked the guys, hey, what'd you do with the talents that I'd given you? And the one with five and the one with two both responded, man, we invested it, we worked hard, and we doubled your money. The one with five had 10. The one with two had 4. But the one with one says, man, I was scared. You gave it to me, and I didn't want to do anything with it because I was afraid I'd lose it. Because you only gave me one, and I didn't want you to ask me for it, and I not have anything at all to show you when you got back. So I took it, and I hid it, and I buried it. And here it is. Here it is. Was his master proud of him that he didn't lose his talent? No. The very exact opposite happened. He said, man, you are worthless. That's what he said. You're worthless. I gave you one talent. Could you not do something with it? Instead, you buried it. It didn't use it. So what did he do? He fired that guy and took the one talent he had and gave it to the man who had 10. And the scripture goes on to say that those who are faithful over the little shall be rulers over much. And being in the zone is learning that God has called me to be faithful and manage what he's given me now. God has called me to be faithful and manage what he's given me now. Pastor, you don't know what I have. I don't have anything. How can you say it's of God? Well, maybe you feel like you just have that one talent today. Maybe it doesn't compare to somebody else's 10 talents they have. Instead of getting your eyes on the 10 talents or the 5 talents, get your eye upon the one talent you do have. Say, God, I'm going to be faithful in managing what you've given me. The one talent you've given me, the one ability you've given me, the small finances I have coming through, God, I'm going to be faithful and give it to you. In my spirit, I am saying today that everything I have belongs to you. And God, you take that and multiply it. And as he multiply it, 1 becomes 2, and 2 becomes 4, and 4 becomes 8, and 8 becomes 16. It goes on and beyond. God multiplies because he says, as you are faithful over small, I will make you rulers over much. This is going to be a great series. All we're asked to do is to come in to the house and look at the list on the refrigerator. If I do these certain things, I can experience what God has for me. I can experience the blessing that God has for me today. The question is today, are you zoned in or are you zoned out? Let's bow our heads. Father, we love you today. God, we thank you that, God, you have called us to live a life of blessing. And God, we're learning what that means over the next few weeks. We're going to talk about what it means, God, to be zoned in. Father, I pray today, God, that we would get this first thing in our heart today. This is such a great thing, God, of learning what it means to be God-hearted. To be God-hearted means that you are a generous God, that you are generous with your things to us, that you long to give us things, God. You long to give us a great life. You long to give us things, God, that we are, whatever we have need of. God, you are longing to supply those needs. You even long to give us things that we don't need, but we want sometimes, because you long to give us the desires of our hearts. And God, today I'm praying to Father that something would happen in our spirit of realizing, God, that everything, God, that comes our way, that you are the owner. Everything we possess, even though the title may have our name on it, if we are a Christian, you are the holder of that deed. My car, my finances, my children, my relationships, my job, my abilities, my talents, my fears, everything I have belongs to you. Teach us what it means, Father. Teach us what it means. Teach us what it means. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I'm going to pray this closing prayer over us today. Today, I want you to feel free today just to lift your hands and say, God, I want to receive your word today that's been spoken. Father, we receive your word that's been spoken today, God, teaching us what it means, God, to be obedient to you. That, God, you are the owner, and we are the managers. I pray to Father that our hearts would change. Those of us who are living in the land of the ing, everything belongs to me, and we're working to get our own things built up, God, we would have a change of heart of knowing that, God, the more we line up in blessing, God, with you, we line up in the zone, Lord, and receive from the blesser, and our things become a blessing to others, Lord, as we open them up freely to give to others. And God, in return, you are able to give us back even more things, more talents, more treasure, more ability, more ministry opportunities. God, you are doing it in our life. Help us what it means to live in the sweet spot of your word, the zone that you have for us to live as a Christian walk. Father, we receive it today through this first message in the series, God. May we meditate on it this week, God, as we go from here. Everybody said amen and amen. God bless you today. Thank you so much for being here. We hope to see you Wednesday night. Those of you who can make it, hug a neck on your way out. Shake a hand. Tell somebody it's good to see you.